Welcome to the CMO Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, and marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode 89 of the CMO Marketing Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is our full first episode under the new CMO branding, which if you go back to episode number 88, you can have a quick listen for an 8-minute podcast to see why we've changed the name or the story behind us changing our name. This is the second time we've changed our name for this podcast and our brand in the past couple of years, but there is a good reason for it. So please go back and check that one out. On the show today, we have Mandy Hall. We did actually record this one as a video as well. So if you get the chance, jump onto YouTube and our channel on YouTube, and you can see me chatting to Mandy in our office. We are going to talk about branding because that's obviously Mandy's speciality, and because we changed our name and redid our branding, we thought it would be good for you to get an insight into the purposes and the reasons for rebranding and getting your branding right and the value behind branding and all those kind of things. So Mandy is the second time on the show. She is a long-time contributor and friend of ours at the business, and we pretty much love everything she does. So she's great to listen to. So please listen to the rest of this podcast, because I think you'll find it extremely useful. Before we jump into that, just the usual thank yous and housekeeping. If you get the chance, please go onto YouTube, rate and review us. You will have to search for the CMO Marketing Podcast now. So CEMOH. But if you could rate and review us, that'd be fantastic. If you're looking for anybody to help you with your sound and general sound engineering stuff, then you need to talk to Gilberto at thepodcastboss.com. And if you want to come and find out a little bit more about CMO, we are a outsourced marketing company. We deliver you staff or strategists, senior strategists, achievers or services, all of it outsourced, and all of it on demand when you need it. So if you want to come and find out a little bit more about us, cemoh.com, C-E-M-O-H. Or talk to me, email me directly, simon@cemoh.com, or find me on LinkedIn or Twitter or all those kind of places, wherever you might come looking for me. And that's pretty much it. So let's, without any further ado, let's work. Let's jump straight into listening to Mandy Hall. So welcome to the very first CMO podcast, which we've done a lot of podcasts in the past before, but this is the first one under the new brand. Welcome Mandy Hall, who is back for her second time.
Yes, thank you for having me again. And congratulations.
Thank you, yes. CMO. Oh, and congratulations to you because you are a new mother for the second time.
I am.
And you had how much sleep last night?
4 hours sleep last night. But
a big poo explosion in the middle of the night.
And a big poo explosion and a big coffee this morning.
You poor, poor thing. I'm just getting out of all that now with an 18-month-old, so I'm like...
Lucky you.
I feel your pain. Okay, so for those of people that have listened to your podcast that you and I did in the past, they may know who you are and what you've done, but let's do a quick recap of where the hell you came from.
Okay, well, I'm currently the director of a company called Chiefs and Indians, and we do brand strategy projects, to keep it simple. I've spent the last, say, 16 years in marketing and brand-related fields. Started at Virgin Blue, so a pretty epic beginning to my career.
Yeah.
And pretty much set me up for the rest, I believe, based on, you know, I was in a brand role there. And so as the guardian of that brand, I learned a lot. And the power of what, you know, strong brand strategy and branding can bring to a company. And then from there, I worked in a range of marketing roles for some other big companies, smaller companies, government, and finished, I guess, my corporate career before starting my own business at Compare the Market. So again, finishing on a high note prior to starting my own business, which is where I am today.
So we won't talk about Compare the Market because we talked about that last time, so I don't want to rehash that. Before we talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is brand strategies, all those kind of things, what
made you want to go and work for yourself? At what point did you suddenly go, right, well, I've had enough of working for other people? What was it? What was the trigger?
Well, I think it comes down to there's a bit of frustration that I hold around branding and brand strategy,
right,
which is something that I've come across throughout my entire career.
Yep.
And firstly, that is a lot of people don't get it. They don't understand it.
Yep.
And you don't know what you don't know, right? So there's no judgment there. People don't understand what it is. They think branding is a logo or branding is an advertising campaign,
yep.
which it's definitely not. And, you know, there's a real sort of lack of brand strategy within organizations. So you need a good brand strategy before you can work out, you know, sort of the best path to take in terms of branding. And so I was very passionate about strategy, and I, you know, sort of looked around, and there's a lot of creative advertising agencies that do brand strategy, but everything is wrapped up in coming up with an advertising idea
or a creative idea. Yeah.
And so I sort of recognized there was a gap in the market for pure strategy. And certainly at a smaller level.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of other smaller businesses that are thriving that could really use with some guidance and direction within their business, but can't afford to bring in a full-time person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I created Chiefs and Indians simply because I wanted to be able to bring the Chiefs and the Indians
right.
to a range of business sizes
yep.
and deliver brand strategies using, you know, sort of global frameworks
yep.
that have been proven to enhance commercial outcomes.
Right.
So removing any sort of fluff around brand
yeah.
and it being the colouring in department, and sort of bringing the substance, bringing yeah. the proof,
yeah.
bringing the insights that's going to drive a better commercial outcome.
Right. So let's think about that in application to somebody who might be watching this small to medium-sized business. So first question I've got is that, you mentioned this, that people that think a brand is a logo. So what... in simple terms, is a brand to you? What is that? What does it mean when you talk about a brand?
Well, a brand is something that you really can't control. It's an imprint on the mind of your consumer or right. customer. So it's a set of associations that come to mind
yeah.
about your business
okay.
in the minds of a customer. Now, when I say you can't control it, there are things that we do,
yep.
and this is bringing it back to strategy, that you can try and influence
right.
their perceptions.
Okay.
So I always describe it as your brand strategy steers the ship,
okay.
your branding is the emblem on the sail,
right.
and your brand is the result of how well you did both.
Right. Okay. No, I've got
so, that. Yeah. And just to clarify, yeah. branding isn't just a logo.
Yeah.
The branding, the way we see it, is really the whole of your efforts in
yeah.
terms of a business. So your branding comes from any sort of contact with the customer. So
okay.
it could be interactions, everything
yeah.
from your customer service,
yeah.
The people on the phone
yep.
answering your calls,
yep.
Through to retailers in store,
yep.
through to your marketing, you know, the most obvious stuff, your marketing, yep. your website, and, you know, even your PR, the people that represent your company.
Yep.
It's all creating your brand.
So if you, and this is what I see with a lot of small businesses, you've got really good customer service, they're really good products, they look after their customers really well. Mm-hmm. So their branding in that sense, where people are engaging with them on a day-to-day basis, is really good.
Yes.
But then when you look at their logos and the visual side of it, it looks like it was done in MS Paint in,
yes.
you know, 1990. That, I mean, I see that a lot. Is that something you kind of...
Yeah, so I see it go both ways.
Right.
Because you have some companies that have the most beautiful branding.
Yeah.
Right? But they don't, their words are cheap.
Yeah.
So they don't have the actions to follow it up.
Yeah.
And then you have other companies like you've described yeah. who are creating a fantastic brand. And from my point of view, product and service does trump any sort of advertising message, because
yeah.
if you're not delivering on the advertising yeah, yeah, yeah. message, then it's worthless.
Okay.
But Yeah, it's about getting alignment between your visual, your verbal, and your service identities, your products even. And I guess the first step there is coming up with a strategy so that there's complete clarity and razor-sharp focus across every department within a business. So your brand strategy shouldn't sit with the marketing team.
Right.
Yes, they might lead it, they might drive it, but it needs to be owned and implemented from the top down.
Okay.
Because what I've learned is when I've created brand strategies in the past and in my business, if you're not working with the CEO or the MD and they haven't adopted it, then it's going to dissipate. It goes nowhere. And, you know, our proposition, well, what I'm most passionate about is creating brand strategies that are actionable.
Okay.
Which goes against the sort of the fun and the bright lights and the, but I prefer to deliver something that's going to be actionable and results orientated.
Okay.
Than something that becomes a coffee table book.
Where does the visual side of the brand then fit into that kind of, is that the sort of very last thing that you look
at? Yeah, so basically when we look at businesses, and we don't necessarily go through a linear approach because some people have bits and pieces done or it's about bringing it together. But when we do a brand strategy, it's broken up into two parts. The first is the strategy, which is we break it into three sections, which is impact, appeal, and character. So that hasn't touched the branding yet. The character is very much just establishing the personality and the tone of voice because you need that to then create the expression.
Yep.
And then the branding is the second part where you go, okay, this is our strategy, this is our vision, this is our values, this is how we want to position ourselves, and this is the personality.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we then translate that into a creative expression?
Okay.
So we say strategy is internal, eyes only.
Mm-hmm.
Branding and expression is external.
Okay.
So that directs, but you've got the framework, you've got the foundation, I should say.
Yeah.
And then now it's creating that emotional, engaging, empathetic branding identity system that wins your customers over.
Why is that all important? I mean, it sounds important. The way you're describing it makes it sound very important.
Yeah.
But what's the... You know, again, going back to that example of that small business where they've got great customer service, they've got, you know, a great product, but they've got the MS Paint logo, you know, and then your one, you know, which is they've got the great visual elements, but the rest of it seems to be a bit broken. Why bother? Why, you know, if the company's generating revenue and it's making its profit, what's the point?
Well, I guess it's how high do you want to strive? So, I mean, that sounds like an ideal scenario if the company's making revenue, making profit with their MS Paint logo. I mean, you know, you don't just change shit because there's some sort of, you know, pragmatism that needs to be applied. But I guess it's just a matter of getting all your ducks in a row because at the end of the day, it's consistency and alignment that helps you become known.
Yeah.
So that company, they might have all their ducks in a row with the paint logo and it may not be necessary.
Yeah.
But if that logo represents their sort of brand strategy or their brand positioning, then so be it.
Mm.
Doesn't matter if it is. Mm. So I guess it's just a matter of making sure that, and it's particularly a problem as you grow. Mm. Right, you could have this great brand and you have 5 people working for you or 10 people or 20 people, but then you grow to 200 people.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, documentation, processes, frameworks need to be crystal clear because there's so much more error that can come with more people. excuse me. And, you know, essentially when you do a brand strategy and build a brand right, and by that I mean... There are companies around the world that have come up with sort of the key elements that make a strong brand based on their research that has determined the brands that have the biggest commercial returns act in these 5 ways. Well, then to me, it's just making sure that you've integrated those things into your brand consistently to then succeed longer term.
I think what you've said there is about expanding the business. If you are got a small business and there's 5 of you and, you know, and that's all you ever aspire to be, you know, you don't want to sell the business or you don't want to replicate it in another city or things like that, then, you know, if if your service levels are great, your proposition is great, and you have nothing written down, then it doesn't really matter.
No.
You know?
If those five people are clear. It's about clarity. That's the whole point of this. And, you know, also you might have pretty important too if you're a business that is introducing new products.
Yeah.
So that's also where it can come undone, you know, if you're not clear about, you know, your customer and the types of needs and wants and desires and the products most suited to that, you know, because if you've got a proposition where you want to be, I don't know, the fastest, if you're a warehouse or an Amazon or something and you want to do everything in 3 clicks, that touches your website, that touches your products, that touches your warehouse. So see how there's all these things that, so you just want to make sure you're keeping within that reign, or you can be all things to everybody, but that will absolutely come undone eventually.
I guess also from the benefit of having a brand, I mean, you know, a strong brand, you know, both, you know, with the values and also visually and all those kind of things, is that that itself becomes an asset, a valuable asset. And, you know, people always talk about the value of the Coca-Cola logo, is that if you sold everything else from Coca-Cola, all the bottling plants and all those kind of things, the logo itself and the brand values that are epitomized by Coca-Cola is still worth billions of dollars as this kind of ethereal kind of, you know, thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess that's the other thing, is that you build a strong brand, and it creates more value within the business itself.
Absolutely. I actually was just looking at my social media the other day, and we did a post about, you know, why build a strong brand.
Yeah.
And first thing, at the end of the day, the reason we try to build a brand is to spend less acquiring customers.
Yeah.
Secondly, you know, if you build a brand, you have, potentially a good brand, less sensitivity to price. So you could potentially charge a higher price.
Of course, yes, absolutely.
And lastly, you can sell more of your other stuff because your brand sits outside of, to your point, any one product or service. Mm. And all of that just improves profits.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah. People come back more frequently to buy from a brand that they like, they recognize,
they trust.
Yeah.
But you can break the trust in a second.
Yeah.
So that's the alignment, that's the consistency.
Yeah. I think about some of the brands that I would buy or have bought frequently. I mean, Apple's the, you know, the global probably number one brand that when you talk about a brand that's built you know, that kind of loyalty within its customer base over the years, that people will come and buy an iPhone or a Mac or whatever it is, without even really worrying about what the price is.
Exactly.
You know, and then there's other great brands as well, and, you know, that do that sort of thing. And then you see some that are polarizing. You see the Teslas of this world where they've got all the brand fanboys, and then the ones that...
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's who they want.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the beauty of certain niches. You don't need to be all things to everybody.
No.
I went to an event once and they used the best quote, which was, people don't buy products or services, they buy better versions of themselves. And I'm like, that's so true. I mean, that's kind of what you're trying to create for the brand.
This
sort of emotional higher connection. And it doesn't have to be aspirational. It can still be rational.
Yeah.
But it's something that you can connect with and feel good about, to your point, unconsciously.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I always loved
subconsciously.
Yeah. Look, Richard Branson's another person that's built like really good brands throughout the world.
Yes.
You know, and obviously you work for Virgin Blue. And I never forget when he was trying to launch Virgin Cola in the US, that he drove a tank down, I think, Fifth Avenue or something like that.
Like, sounds he was like invading, what he would do.
Invading America, or invading the heartland of America and New York, you know, with this new brand. And immediately just driving a tank down Fifth Avenue, kind of, there's your brand values, you know?
Absolutely.
You're challenging the status quo. You're not afraid to get in a fight.
And you're having fun.
You're having fun, you know. You're doing something completely crazy.
It's, yeah.
You know, they're in single act is, you know, the brand values epitomised for that new product.
Exactly. And I mean, working at Virgin, sort of taught me a lot about brand values and how your brand values, they're not just words on a piece of paper. Mm. You've got to live and breathe them. And often they can make you very distinctive as a brand and even differentiated. Yeah. Sometimes your positioning can be wrapped around,
yeah,
you know, parts of your brand values. Because your brand values is one piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah.
You've got to do all these other things together for the greatest impact. But what I loved about Virgin when they came into the market, and I started not long after, fun was one of their values.
Right.
Now, this is going back 18 years.
Okay.
That's when I first started at Virgin, which is really frightening.
Makes us feel very old. But anyway.
I know, yes. I feel very old. But back then, you know, fun as a brand value, but it was exactly that. And that was part of the proposition to the customer. So this is the beauty of your values. And this is how values work twofold.
Yeah.
They're about creating a way of working or some guiding principles for your staff and your employees. And you kind of use those to attract people, right? You get people excited about your brand. Yeah. But then the whole point, you know, when you do brand values that are the same inside and out, and lots of businesses do different things with values, but the brand values I'm talking about, the way we do it is what they are internally, they are externally.
Yeah.
And it's the value proposition to the customer externally. So, for example, fun was a value, and what we did at Virgin was the ads were super fun and super cheeky.
Yeah.
Every time Richard Branson was in town, he threw a party for staff.
Yeah.
And things like onboard aircraft, they made jokes. You could never make jokes on board an aircraft. Now, I'm not saying this is to everyone's taste.
Yeah.
This is just showing how it's not words on paper. It's they had actions, they had customer service, their advertising pushed the needle. And internally we had parties. You know, Richard Branson did outlandish things. You know, there was everything that he did had like this great fun PR-able moment. You know, I remember when they started carbon offsetting the flights, and so, you know, the PR team created this big green ball and had this, you know, all these girls there, and I'm not saying that that's appropriate today, but
18 years ago.
But this was pushing the needle, and you know what? It created salience, which is a big part of building a brand, being memorable, and having something that distinguishes you from others. And that did. And, you know, you watch where Virgin has come to today. You know, they made a huge strategic change, you know, a while ago to, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but from an outside, it looks like they were replicating Qantas.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that they dropped the fun value, because you can do that, right, with your brand.
Yeah.
You can grow out of what you used to be. And they dropped their fun value, and you felt it.
Mm.
All of a sudden, they're a bit more premium. Yeah. They've got business class, but interestingly, it was the fun that really differentiated them.
Yeah.
And now I hear whispers about, oh, we want to be the old Virgin again.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that's true, or this is just an outsider's point of view, but because I worked there so many years ago, I can see how things have changed, and it just shows you how you can change with your values.
Yeah. Let's just talk about those values for a second, because fun as a value is obviously, you know, it's fairly obvious.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, you know, you don't have to overthink that one. But if you're out there in a business and going, right, well, we've been operating, we don't even know what our values are, how would you work those out? And two-part question, how would you work them out? And then can they just be a single word, fun, or should they be some sort of wanky sentence that feels a bit kind of, because you read a lot of brand values and go, and I've written them myself, I've written them for us, and I look at them and go, God, fuck, that's wanky.
Yeah.
No, I just go,
But before I answer your question, I will say that it comes down to each individual. You are the CEO of your company, correct?
Yep.
You cannot have a wanky value. It will not come to life. No,
no,
I mean,
no, you're right.
It
won't come
to life.
I totally agree with you.
It's not about, so I sit with my clients and work through how to reach their values or how to articulate their values. And you know what? I stand back.
Yeah.
I'm a facilitator at best, because if I push what I believe, and they don't believe it, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
And it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I often just start with, you know, forget any sort of definitions of what it should be and shouldn't be. It's kind of like, what do you value? What are the behaviors? Mm. What do you care about? What are your non-negotiables in business? What don't you tolerate? And so working through just some guiding principles, then you can start simply by just writing them on the board to get a feel for what they are. Now, when I write values, in my business, copywriter, or, you know, but when we're putting them together, I personally like articulating them in a way where you have, let's say, a headline, right? Okay. And you have 2 to 3 words.
Yep.
And I do this because anything decent needs to be repeatable.
Mm.
No.
It's no,
because
I
you
get
want
it.
People to adopt it. Remember, I'm all about action. Yeah. So this is my learnings to get here. But
okay.
So 2 to 3 words as a headline that sum up your value. And I prefer a verb so that it's more of a doing style. So, you know, a few of my values are awaken possibilities, take courageous action, keep it simple, be more human. See, they're more verbs for the team to really understand, but they also work externally.
So how am I going to create a value around not being wanky?
Well, do you know what? I have been at a company where one of the values was don't be a dick or something, or maybe that was the Google one and we had something similar.
I
remember what it was now, but I can't repeat it because the visual we used ended up becoming the president of America. The gist.
Yes.
So you can can have values like that, but you've got to explain them and you've got to flesh them out. So, you know, 2 to 3 words as a headline. And then I always think, you know, you have a little sentence or a paragraph explains it. But what I do behind the scenes with my clients is, yes, you have sort of short, sharp, you can put them up on the wall for, you know, employees to see and feel, and you can recruit people on the basis of those things because you want to emulate them externally. But necessary is to sit down and go, how?
Okay.
And you go, how do we do this?
How do we make that
value come
alive?
It's not just words, because then I think you'll find that the wankiness disappears.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you're just looking at face value. And look, some companies like single words.
Yeah.
This is just this is our approach.
Yeah, there's no right answer.
No, exactly. Yeah, this is just how we do it. And all I will say is don't be generic. Don't be generic.
Yeah.
Don't be integrity and innovation. And so what? That doesn't attract people. That doesn't attract customers. Yeah. That's just, it's sort of, you know, it's vanilla.
Yeah.
Just try and don't have to be wanky or creative, but just try and think about it slightly differently. That makes it meaningful.
Yeah. And you don't have to get it right first time.
No.
You
know,
these are evolutionary
values
that could change. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Virgin straight away, but, you know, they're values that can change over the time and the course of the business life cycle.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chiefs and Indians has been around 3 years and we're about to go through a complete change and my values have changed because, you know, we've learned, we've understood that wasn't quite us, but this is us. This is what resonates with my team and this is what resonates with our customers.
Yeah. It's in one of the values that we've been talking about ourselves here is the idea that the team here take responsibility for their own actions. So one of the things that we like is people who work for us going, rather than keep asking us for permission to do things, to almost do something and fail.
Yeah.
And then learn from that and go, well, this is what I did. And come to us and say, look, this is what I did and it didn't work. Then I did this and it still didn't work. And then I did this and it's really working well.
Yeah, love
and
that.
We're sitting there going, that's great because if you keep having to ask us permission at each step of this, that takes our time, that takes up your time, it slows the process down.
Yeah.
Whereas it's that kind of whole move fast and break things.
Yeah, or forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah, ask for forgiveness. Better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but I think the move fast and break things was Jobs, Steve Jobs.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but that was his idea, was just keep going, keep breaking things, keep smashing things, keep knocking things over.
Fast,
you know, and eventually you'll get to the solution much quicker than sitting there, you know, on your hands going, I don't know whether I should do this
exactly,
or not.
Exactly.
So that's one of those values that we kind of then want to try and encapsulate into
absolutely
a single headline and a sentence. So,
and that's brilliant and that resonates.
Yeah.
Like that's your business. This is, you know, part of the proposition to the customer that you are on the cutting edge of you know, digital marketing or marketing solutions, yeah. Because we're learning and we're changing and we're optimizing. Yeah. So that in itself is, you know, goes to show that that's, you know, what you're delivering to the customer, but your expectation of your employees.
Do you know what? And the interesting thing is, now I think about it, I lost a prospect. What are we on today? Friday. So I lost a prospect on Monday, Tuesday this week, because I explained that approach, probably not in that concise words that I've used with you, but I explained that approach to them when they said to me, you know, here's what we want to achieve with our product website. And we want to achieve this amount of sales in this time frame. And the question he'd said was, do you think you can do that? And my answer at the bottom was, I haven't got a fucking clue.
Yeah.
You know, I've got no idea whether I can achieve that. Yeah. I don't know your website. I mean, I know your CS website. I don't know your products. I don't know your traffic. I don't know this, you know. But I'd said, you know, our job is to go back and start testing and trying and start with a small amount of money and improve. Yeah. Move fast, break things.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny, like the next email I got back, it was, you know, I decided to go with someone else who promised them that he could do this and this and this. And I'm like,
good, go with them.
I'm like, I'm glad I didn't get it. And I'd said to Matt, I said, this one's going to be hard work.
Yeah.
You know, and it proved it. And just by being honest, I lost it and then sat back and went, I'm glad I've lost it.
And, you know, I'm okay with that though.
Yeah.
Because I think part of your values, and when I talk about values, I'm not saying you get a client prospect, you do a proposal with your values, here's my values kind of thing. It's not that way that I'm suggesting. But, you know, you set certain standards and approaches that enable you to accept and decline customers. You know, I often think about the name of my business is Chiefs and Indians, right? Some people will think that is absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? They're probably not the clients that I want. So I use it as a bit of a filter.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, and that's okay. It doesn't make them bad or me bad. It's just, there's not that synergy. Yeah. And I think it's okay to knock back clients because they're going to be disappointed. That guy would be disappointed with you as you test and learn and optimize. Yeah. And even though you'd probably double it in the end, he wouldn't have liked the process.
Yeah. And he would have got frustrated too early on.
Exactly.
You know, it needs someone to sort of say, yeah, we're in this for 12 months or whatever. And we go, right, well, all the good shit's going to happen in the last 3 months when we get to that point.
Yeah.
But the first 3 months, 6 months, probably not going to look great.
And that's having standards. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah. we've obviously gone through a rebrand. You know, one of the purposes of having this conversation, what to use the trigger internally within a business that they sit there and go, you know, we need to change our brand. We need to, you know, I mean, in the value space as well as the strategy space as well as the visual space. What do you see as normal triggers where that actually happens? And I'll answer that in our case to say it was, you know, we wanted to present a different product to the market, an evolution of our product, not a completely different product. And what we had as a brand was very much focused around Matt and I.
Yes.
And the new brand that we wanted was we wanted to be very much focused around other people.
Yes.
So for us, it was saying we need to go from here to here and it needs a new name and et cetera.
Yes.
And we've managed to find a cool fiveletter.com.
Yeah,
so
cool.
We were like, right, let's do that. But what are some of the other triggers that you see?
Well, that's probably a primary trigger. Yeah. So when people are repositioning or changing their value proposition and their old brand doesn't seem to fit anymore. Believe it or not, I mean, this is pretty obvious, but branding is a huge trigger.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will come to me and they're like, we've never invested in our brand or our brand is tired. And, you know, I'm not a graphic design agency. Mm. And so straight away I'm like, okay, when you're going on an evolutionary process or a revolutionary process, you need to understand why, what and how first. If you're after just a new logo, that's not me, and, you know, a graphic design company can do that for them. But branding is often probably the number one reason people come to me to find out, you know, how we change the brand. New competition, new marketplace, new products. So I, you know, I do work with people on product branding too. So not the corporate branding that we've sort of been talking more about, but product branding. And yeah, so they're probably the core reasons. I mean, sometimes I've had people come to me about marketing. And then realize they don't have a business plan. And then I've ended up doing brand strategy slash business plan slash marketing strategy just because I'm probably not textbook brand strategy. There are certain things that are probably more from your business plan that I expect you to have in order for me and my team to develop a brand strategy for you. So that's probably a big one. It's just once you start talking to people again, you don't know what you don't know. And
often sometimes I see the trigger is, yes, they do have a shitty logo and they go, well, we don't really like our logo anymore. That we, you know, we need some brochures done and, you know, and then it's like putting the thread on a jumper and all of a sudden the whole thing unravels and they go, yeah, so you've got no values. You don't know what you stand for. And, you know, and all of a sudden you're sitting there doing a full brand strategy.
Exactly. So yeah, they're often the triggers for.
With us actually, it's the website as well. They go, oh, website was built in. What do we do? We Joomla website the other week and we couldn't find a developer who even wanted to touch it. You know, we're sitting there going, you know, maybe it's time to think about a new website. When was this built? And they go, 8 years ago. We go, probably could do with a new website. It's not particularly mobile friendly, et cetera, et cetera. Then they go, all right, well, while we're going to do a website, we ought to perhaps do a logo and redo the branding, all those kind of things. And then you go, and then all of a sudden the Pandora's box is open. Bang, you know, there's all these things that you want to do. And the danger with, you know, with us in the past is we'll sit there and just try and fix, you know, one bit, you know. We'll gaffer tape over the, we'll do a new website and, you know, use your old logo. And then you look at it and go, it still doesn't say what they do. It doesn't inspire me. I'm not, it's not engaging. And, you know, so, you know, for most people, they've really got to go right back to the start and go, what do we actually stand for? What's this brand? But to your point, it's perhaps even further back than that. What's the point of this business? What are we here for? I asked that question.
It's a really hard question.
That question so many times. And the guys here joke with me about it because I always say to people, do you have a business or do you have a job? Have you just created yourself a job? That pays you all right and you get to have whatever days off you like, you know, but really you've got a job. And unless you're going to think about selling it or franchising it or expanding it or whatever it is, it's a job. You know, and if it relies entirely on you or 80% of it relies entirely, it's a job. It's not a business. And that, to me, brand don't really, it's kind of not really important. But if you want to translate you from your life from owning a, having a job to owning a business, you have to really think about that. The brand strategy.
I saw a quote that was, and I might get this wrong because I'm a little bit foggy. Is it start how you wish, how you intend to finish? And so that's my new motto. Well, it's not new as such. I probably already do that, but that's sort of how I think about it. And, you know, you never want to push this stuff on any businesses because it can be a long-winded and expensive process. It's just about going, do you want a logo change? You can go to a graphic designer, but the graphic designer is still going to say to you,
what do you stand for?
What do you stand for? Who are you? I want to get a feel for this brand so I know how to design for you. Or are you looking at more long-term because, you know, a brand strategy isn't a marketing plan that's going to turn a visitor around tomorrow, although it can do, you know, with some time. There's some result in branding. And certainly direct marketing or performance marketing is enhanced by brand over the top. And I've, you know, learnt that working for big brands where the investment in brand is huge. But, you know, that's not feasible for many businesses and nor necessary. But if you think about it as a percentage of your time,
If you are a small business and you can't afford, you know, the huge amount of dollars that it takes to hire somebody like yourself, what, she's not that expensive. What are some of the things that you could do yourself? I mean, you know, is there sort of a little exercise? Is there, you know, is it worth just getting family and friends around a table? I mean, how, you know, what's something?
No, not family and friends. Well, everyone has a point of view. You know, okay. Everybody is a marketer. That's
absolutely.
Like, don't cast it wide. And if you do, cast it out to your customers.
Okay.
Talk to them.
So you're saying specifically, don't get family and friends around.
Well,
I agree with you.
I wouldn't.
Family and friends give you the worst advice.
Exactly. Yeah. And they sort of derail you.
Yeah.
I find they derail, and I start second guessing myself, and I'm like.
Because if they don't like something,
yeah.
just personally in their life, I've seen it with like logos. We're going, you know, I don't like green, so I don't think you should have any logo. Yeah, but we're an environmentally friendly brand, and you know.
Exactly.
You get completely derailed by family and friends.
Exactly. So I wouldn't start there. I actually have a course to do this.
This is part.
I've got some. I'm evolving my business model that's going to offer, you know, a brand strategy course. But this wasn't meant to be a sales pitch, so I'm going to stop there. but I guess
we'll put it in the notes.
There's a course coming, or there is one now, but it's not currently live until mid this year.
Okay.
Later. But I would just suggest that, you know, you've got so much intelligence that people don't even realize.
Yeah.
And, you know, we start with insights. It's always about understanding first, trying to put your bias at the door and understand first. And what you can gather, I mean, I've worked with small businesses where I've simply analyzed 2 years of their business performance and was able to extrapolate segments, target segments based on their data capture.
Yeah.
And it wasn't advanced. And so we were able to start creating segments, and then we were able to look at the average revenue per sale. And so we're just starting to piece together a picture. I know this isn't brand, but we're starting to piece together who are the valuable segments,
who are the most profitable, who are the high volume. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so you go, okay, these guys are the, you know, these are your lovers. Like they love your service. Mm. Okay, there's a really strong segment there. I want to go and talk to them now.
Yeah.
And hear what they have to say about your brand. Mm. I mean, I try to, when I do customer interviews for clients, I try and let the customer do a lot of the talking to get an understanding, to actually just use some of their words.
Yeah.
So this isn't paying for, you know, qualitative research focus groups because I'm a believer of having something as opposed to nothing. But this is just getting some insights by your customers, particularly the ones that love you. And then you can talk to maybe some that haven't loved you so much and what their issues were. And then you're starting to just piece together a little bit of a picture. And if there's one question that I love asking customers, it's like, oh, you know, in this industry, you know, any other brands come to mind? That's all you say.
And
straight away, you know who the front runners are.
Yeah.
Because you want to talk to at least, you know, 10, 20 people, and you're like, oh, okay, these are the guys we need to worry about. So then straight away you go and look at their business. Yeah. What are they doing? What's their proposition? All you have to do is read someone's website to get a feel for what they're trying to claim, right? And then you start mapping it and you go, okay, these guys are claiming this, and, you know, they're the market leaders. Yeah. They really are. And you can look into Google and you can understand what people are searching. You can understand if there's any sort of brand terms being used. There's so much free stuff available. Yeah. If you're building a brand, start with understanding the market.
Yeah.
Understanding your own business, talk to your customers, do some external searching. You'll be surprised how many third-party research that's available on you know, potentially your target customers. Yeah. It doesn't have to be industry, but, you know, if you're targeting families, or there's so much information that you can access.
And there's a lot of there's a lot of really easy tools to do that as well. I mean, you know, SurveyMonkey, Google Docs, you know, doing things like that doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take a lot of massive amount of time. It's just a question of sitting down, asking some key questions, making sure the questions are right. You don't just want a lot of yes or no questions. You want people to give you real feedback.
Yeah.
You know, what did you think of this, or what, you know, those really open questions. And when I get them, when I do those kind of surveys, I always say to people, you know, try and mix up. You've still got to have a few yes, no questions, closed answers, or questions where they can give you potentially a numeric value or something like that. But then also intersperse that with some opportunities for them to give you more open feedback.
Exactly.
And I never forget, an old client of mine did this, and they went out and asked all of their, well, they're very loyal customers, people who've been back over and over and over again. It was a training organisation. And they got all this feedback, which was pretty much just blowing smoke up their ass, going, we think you're great, we think you're wonderful, don't change anything. You know, and they were, well, this isn't great feedback. And there was one line in one of them that just said something. So, look, we really like what you're doing, but maybe the colour scheme of your training organisation is a bit in your face.
Yeah.
Because they use purple everywhere.
Yeah, okay.
And it, when you walked into this place, it was just purple. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And they kind of all went, yeah, it is really. And at that moment, it all dawned on them to sit them and say, kind of, it feels really cartoony. It feels not serious enough. And we want it to be fun, but perhaps we've gone a bit 70s disco fun.
Yeah.
You know, which is the wrong kind of fun.
Exactly.
You know, it's tacky kind of fun.
Yeah.
And just that colour change alone kind of offered a little bit more, you know, they repainted the place. Just it offered a little bit more gravitas to the whole place.
And yes.
When you went there, you kind of felt, it didn't feel so comedy.
More peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comfortable.
That's a good one. Yeah. Peaceful is a good one.
Yeah.
All right, last question.
Okay.
You've seen a lot of brands, you've worked with a lot of brands, but who do you think's killing it out there? What's a great brand for you? And you can't say Apple because everybody says Apple.
The brand I'm going to say has been in the press a lot lately, but I'm just so impressed by Canva.
Okay. So
this is for me. So I believe, and everything we do at Chiefs and Indians is all about walking the talk, okay? So making sure our actions speak louder than the words in a document, so to speak. And Canva, their products and their services, they've nailed it. They've nailed their customer understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked at them the other day, and I don't know how long this has been out, but, you know, I looked at it the other day. They now do video. You can create video templates. Okay. And I whipped one up in half an hour just because I was curious because you know, sometimes when you're working with smaller businesses where they do just need to put something together relatively quickly, you know, there's some great tools in Canva. And, you know, she has just, I mean, wow, that's one brand that represents the key components of winning and has done so successfully at a rapid rate. Now, I'm not saying overnight.
No.
Terms of business.
Yeah, it's been.
It's incredible. And I think the last valuation was at $8 billion.
Do you know what? I made a comment on someone's post on LinkedIn about their valuation. I like Canva.
I've had this argument with my partner.
I cannot see how it's possibly valued at that sort of money.
Well, really, we did the math on it.
I did the math on
We had this conversation at home and we worked out.
Was he on my side or your side?
Your side.
Okay, right.
Because he's like, this is, you know. And I said, no, have you used it? You don't understand it. It's fantastic. It really taps into a customer need, you know.
But I just went, like, here's the amount of users they have. And I just went, how big is their potential market? I don't.
But we just went, okay, if you look at this, it's very rough and dirty. If you look at the global population.
Right, yeah.
Right? You take 10%. If 10% spent $10.
That's plucking numbers out of you.
It is plucking, but I'm just saying, what else can you do? I mean, you've got nothing else to go by, but $8 billion. And, you know, people in isolation, I get it. You're bored. You want to do something. You want to learn something. And
I'm thinking about the people, like the number of small businesses. That's how I would go back and measure it. I go, the number of small businesses.
But it's not just businesses. No. You know what? My sister, she's trying to get a marketing job at the moment. And I looked at her CV the other day and her cover letter, and she'd done that in Canva.
Right.
It's not, it's kids, it's school.
But she wouldn't pay for it. They're still using the free version.
Yeah, but you don't understand. If you want a picture, you can pay a dollar. Like that's it's not always about the membership, although the membership is, I'm sure, where she's getting the most money. But, you know, I've been very conservative with $10 per person.
We shall agree to disagree on
that. And I need an idea like that. You know, I want $8 billion. I'm
on your partner's side. You can tell him that I completely don't understand. What I was going to finish with, because I never get the chance with these things to say brands that I like. I was going to say to you, I just wanted to talk about the one that has always really, really impressed me that has such longevity is Lego.
Yeah.
You've got a four-year-old. Was it? Yeah.
Three-year-old.
Yeah. So he's going to start getting in the next couple of years into what my four-year-old describes as big boy Lego.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so which I end up putting together and then he destroys, but that's another matter entirely. But the fact that they have managed to create this brand that is so relevant to my four-year-old as it was relevant to me when I was 9 years old.
Yep.
You know, and it hasn't, you know, it's had some up and downs in there, but it really, to me, hasn't skipped a beat in the whole.
But I think they evolve. They continue to evolve. These brands, it's really sad, the current market, because we're seeing some strong brands going into administration, which is really sad. But I think brands like Lego continue to, you know, revitalize their brand through their products, right? So obviously they've kept strong to their brand history, right? Because you don't want to let go of that for such a brand that's been around for a long time.
Yep.
You know, it's getting the balance of preserving that heritage but evolving with, you know, today's market and kids' needs and you know, they've got a movie, they've sort of tried different things. Do they have computer games?
Yes,
they've diversified so that the Lego has remained still strong as a toy, but you know, it's sort of, people have taken Lego throughout their life, probably later than when they first.
Well, there's the TV show, the Lego Lego Masters,
and the adults love it.
Well,
I'm talking about the movie, but I haven't actually watched it. But so many people I know, adults like The Simpsons, you know, they love it, and so they've hit the nail on the head.
The interesting thing with their business model was when they decided that they were going to be more than just bricks, and that they were going to branch out. They'd originally started to do it all themselves internally, so the Lego. The destination venues, the theme parks, the films, the TV, it was all done internally, different departments within the, and that put a massive, massive strain on their revenue, profitability. And I think there was a couple of years in there where they made quite hefty losses in terms of
to do that.
Yeah, and it was looking, you know, again, I think back, it was perhaps the late 90s, early 2000s, where it was looking quite dodgy for them as a brand, as an organisation. And what they realised was they said, no, look, our core business is making building blocks in various different themes. So the Star Wars ones and the Eiffel Tower ones, all those kind of things. That's what we do. Anything else, we still want to do it, but we're going to license that stuff out.
Yeah,
we're going to let someone else do it.
Okay.
So people that are good at making films can go and make Lego films.
Yeah,
people that are good at making TV shows can go and make Lego TV shows.
They're just licensing.
They just license the stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, and and we then have a licensing department within the organization. Yeah. And they're the people that control all that stuff, you know. But then that licensing department, I assume, is working very, very tightly with the branding team within the organization.
Because it's about building the brand so that people want to license the brand.
And making sure that when the license is executed properly, that everything stays completely adheres to the brand values.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Thank you very much for being on here today. Do you want to do the shameless plug about where people can find you and how they can get in contact with you?
You can find me at www.chiefsandindians.com. And we are on social media, a little light on social media, but we are there.
Do better.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
LinkedIn.
Cool.
And a little bit of Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
Cheers.